Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Aki's here, Bree's here, Jacob's here. How's everybody doing?
Doing.
Try not to hack up a lung, but otherwise, perfectly fine.
What, why would you be hacking up a lung?
Because I am still incredibly sick.
Oh.
Yay.
I know that?
Yeah. Talked about it last week.
Huh. I don't remember.
Mute when you cough, breathe. If you can.
Yeah.
I what?
Huh?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Who? Where? Huh?
Why are there all these voices in my head right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. How was everybody's week?
It's been pretty productive, I think. Getting stuff done around the house. I was helping Indri earlier. We hung some art on the stairwell, which involves ladders at precarious angles and people holding things and handing things off. And it's, you know, it looks really dangerous and I didn't like it, but I love the result. So, but yeah, just getting ready for company. So doing Very all cool. the things, getting all this project done. Yeah, absolutely. I have a little less than a week until my mom gets here, and a little more than 2 weeks before the wedding. And I saw a physical therapist for the first time today, and I had to ask him not to break me before my wedding. And he said that that was like a tall order. So
yeah,
he was gonna try his hardest not to break me.
Did he sound like Dolph Lundgren? I must break you.
No.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Jacob, what'd you do this week?
I worked and slept and played video games.
Yay!
That is it. Like,
cool. Aki, what'd you do?
My week has sucked.
The same thing I do basically every week. I wake up, I play my games for review, I eventually decide I need to eat, and go back to video games, and then decide I need to go to sleep.
You never know. Some weeks you, like, go to a craft show, or...
Yeah, those are always near the end of the year, because I can't be out in this heat. It's too dangerous for me.
That's fair.
So that'll be, like... October-ish, unless it's something inside, but mom doesn't do a whole bunch of them during spring. There'll probably be one or two during summer, but after that it should be a while until near the end of fall. Thank God. I'll be dog sitting here before too long. I think I got another maybe-ish a month.
Nice.
And I'll be dog sitting a big old bulldog or boxer. One of them. I don't know. The square-faced ones, they're all square-faced. Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Good.
And she takes the most massive shits. Jesus Christ. Good. I feed her just a little bit, and she craps just the largest amount. I'm like, how the fuck?
That makes me happy.
She craps more than I do, and she eats less than a fifth. What the fuck?
Did you just admit that you take mad dumps?
Oh, yeah, I take huge shits, yeah.
She takes massive ones, probably chokes out the toilet.
I've done that many a time, yeah.
Like, how many plungers do you own?
Right now, two.
Do you have the plumber on speed dial?
No, I've never needed a plumber.
That's... okay.
Who knows the poop knife story?
I know
the
poop knife.
Fucking what?
Google it. Oh, wait, no, bing it. Get your reward points.
Okay, God, I can't believe I'm about to look this up.
add Reddit to it so that you don't get some weird, I don't know.
I feel like I've heard of poop knife, but I have to look it up now, I guess.
Yeah, yes. You do.
It's up to you, really.
It started on Reddit. Oh, God. This is horrific.
Jacob, do you remember what the road is between Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton that runs south down like Allentown?
I mean, Interstate 81?
No, the back road.
The back road?
What road goes from fucking Wilkes-Barre to... Oh, God damn it. 309. Route 309.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. I don't think of 309 as a back road.
It's not the main road.
Yeah, but it's still like a route. Like, it's not like, you know, unmarked, like, turn off and, you know, like, go down.
So anyway, that's what I weighed in at today.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I am down under 310. That is weird. So, progress. Yay.
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 Convoluted Congrats. Way to say I'm still losing weight. Let's get to news. There was a lot of news this week. We have a lot to talk about. Of course, Aki finds the page.
Yep.
There was the Triple I Initiative showcase earlier today, and it was a big show full of a ton of games
and no bullshit.
I know, it was just like trailer.
No head talking heads doing things. It was just
it was nonsense. Exactly what I want all of these shows to fucking be.
Yeah. it was pretty damn awesome
indeed. I don't remember the order in the show, but I have an email that has everything alphabetically, so we're just gonna follow that. Which is good, because one of the first things right off the top of the bat is Alabaster Dawn.
Oh, that looks so good.
Yeah, that looked really good.
I think this is on everybody's I need list. It hits early access May 7th, and it is from the CrossCode team.
Yeah,
CrossCode was one of the first games I ever reviewed.
Oh, wow.
Not for here, but over at IGT. It was, I think, my second or third game. I fucking love that game. And I own it on both Xbox and Steam. That is such a good game. And I have a bunch of its fucking plushies, too. Because they've been putting those out, a couple of them, every now and then. Have like three of them, I think. I fucking love that game.
I think CrossCode's still on my wish list. It's one of those I've been meaning to pick up.
Yeah, anyone here who wants it, it's really good. It has all sorts of accessibility features that don't fuck with achievements. So, like, there's achievements for, I think, like, beating enemies in certain amounts of times or taking less damage or something, but you can actually set it to where enemies do no damage to you, you do, like, 200% damage or whatever, and all that fun shit. They don't care. They're like, okay, here's your achievement anyways.
First like, they game have already sidetracked. Sliders. Love it.
Yeah, yeah, they have sliders for everything. It's great. I can't wait for their new game. I sure will, too.
So anyway, the next game they showed off was Alkahest. It was the first gameplay reveal of Alkahest, and it is a first-person hacky-slashy medieval kill things simulator.
Yeah. Instead of dealing with magic, it seems to be based on like alchemy instead. Alchemy. It looks really good. I remember this forever ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. They showed off a new co-op game from Clay called Away Team, where you are shipped off on a research rocket and you have to take control of the simulation to survive on a strange new world.
The animation style was or the art style was really cute.
It's Clay. It looks great.
Gameplay. Yeah. Not my style.
Yeah. They have an upcoming expansion for Barotrauma called Home and Harbor. Or that game.
Yeah.
If you play it.
Yeah.
Coming this fall. Something for Jacob. Brotato getting new DLC this summer.
I'm excited. I already beat Brotato, so I'm eager to return to it.
I'm still working on it.
It's good. I love that game. It's so fun to go back to every now and then.
It is. Yeah. I need to get the first pack of DLC.
Yeah.
You should. Do that. They showed off new DLC for Cairn or Cairn. C-A-I-R-N. Cairn. I'm never good with that word. Just more DLC for that game. Going to be free.
Yeah, it's free. So, yay.
Comes out this summer. Showed off new gameplay footage for Castlevania Belmont's Curse from Evil Empire and Konami. This looks gorgeous, and I can't wait to see more. I want it. I want it. I want to have it.
Not my thing, but it looks pretty.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'm going to have to try one of those games.
Symphony of the Night. Try that one.
Okay.
After that was the Clover Pit got new DLC, and guess what? It's out now.
Yay.
Nifty Pinchangles.
I reviewed that a while ago, so yeah.
Indeed.
You should check it out.
New game from 11-Bit Studios called Crop, where it is a gritty farming thriller.
Yeah, that one has my interest a little. I don't know if it's going to be my style. I'll wait to see when it gets closer to launch if there's a little bit more to the trailers. But it was definitely interesting looking.
Yeah. Another very interesting looking one was Dead as Disco from Brain Jar Games. That hits early access in May, and it looks bonkers.
It's so pretty. I love the visual design for it, but it being rhythm-based, I'm just like, I would never stand the snowballest chance in hell of being able to play this for shit.
Clay showed off another game, Don't Starve Elsewhere, an all-new Don't Starve game.
Yeah.
Very exciting if you are a fan of the Don't Starve series.
I'm a fan of not starving.
That's fair. Sandbox Survival RPG Injury with the 29-month sub. Thank you so much. I know Shitsu on you subbed earlier before we went live. Thank you both. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy the kitty cats. Enjoy the whoop-dee-doo. Celebrate. Whoop-dee-doo. Everwind is a sandbox survival RPG coming from Bohemia Interactive and Enjoy Studio in May.
Mm.
It is an update coming, it is the first Ascent update for Everwind.
Yeah.
Trying to skim these emails. Far, Far West from Fire Shrine Games and Evil Raptor, launching into early access on April 28th as a chaotic 1-4 player co-op horde shooter.
It looked fun. I would like to see it maybe come to console at some point, if that's possible. But
you want to hear some of their bullet points?
Yeah.
No live service, no season passes, no microtransactions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
Showed off a game called Final Sentence, a battle royale typing game.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Bree would get really abnormally into that if Bree got it.
I do type pretty fast.
Yeah, and you're competitive as all get out. I think that would be I think you would be like, oh, this game, whatever. And then you'd play it, and we wouldn't hear from you for, a month.
I'm, competitive at weird things, though. So, I don't know if that would bring out the competitive side of me or not. You know, but usually when I do get really competitive, I'm mean, and I swear a lot.
Oh, we got to get you to play this on the show. The game Frost Rail was shown off as a ruthless survival first-person shooter, solo or co-op. Playtest beginning on the 16th.
Meh.
Fair.
Yeah. Graveyard Keeper 2 was announced from Tiny Build and Lazy Bear Games.
Nice. And?
And to celebrate the announcement, the game is free on Steam, PS4, PS5, Xbox One and Xbox Series, I believe until April 13th. So you've only got a few days. Yeah. Grab it on all the platforms.
Yeah. That's really awesome that they're like, hey, we're bringing out a second game to welcome Here's the first for free. Fuck it. Have at it. Hopefully you like it and you want the second game.
If you're on PlayStation, the complete edition with all the DLC is on sale for $10.
Oh, nice.
So you could just get all the DLC for $10. That's cool as hell. Let's see. Long Gone. New game from Hillfort Games and Outer Sloth. You get to explore an abandoned suburban neighborhood after an outbreak with a kitty cat.
Oh, and there's this one looks interesting.
It's like voxel art in that, you know, blocky pixel style. It was like
The Last of Us 2D, 3D, HD.
Yeah, it was
Long Gone.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on that one.
Me too.
Yeah, the HD 2D visual effect is such, like, I love this visual effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the Bravely Default games have been. It's what the Dragon Quest remasters have been. I love the HD 2D look.
Mm-hmm.
It is gorgeous. Love it, love it. Lost Castle 2 1.0 release is coming June 11th. It's a 2D beat-em-up roguelite, and it looked really friggin' good. I liked it. I thought it looked good. Lost Railway is a 2D co-op quota horror where you and your friends travel through a strange post-apocalyptic world aboard a train that must never stop.
A lot of VTubers are going to play the shit out of this game.
Is it like Speed?
I hope.
Screaming is apparently a mechanic in the game. So,
like, you with your microphone?
Yeah.
Oh, people in apartments should definitely play this. Good thin wall challenge.
Yay. Machine Party is a collection of violent party games where failure is lethal. It looked insane, and it's coming this summer.
Yeah, it looked definitely interesting, but probably not something I'll play.
If it comes to console, I would give it a go, but I don't think I would play it on Steam.
Yeah.
I don't think I care that much. Neverway is officially going to be launching in October on the PC and Switch.
Yeah.
I like the visual look of that one. It looks interesting.
Pixel artist of Celeste and music by Disasterpiece.
Yeah.
That one is exciting.
Slice of life horror.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one. I like the concept.
Yep.
They showed off Over the Hill, a new Algeria biome, and playtest is announced for the 24th. Registration is open until the 16th. Closed test runs the 24th through the 26th, so get your registration in and see if you get chosen. They showed off a game, Prove You're Human. Aki, I know you said you were interested in this one.
Yeah, you seem to be playing some sort of AI in this, doing different captures and stuff, and trying to create a human body for yourself. Just the concept of it seems interesting. I want to know more about this. I am very excited to see where this goes. This was made by, if I'm remembering correctly, the same people who made 1000X Resist, which I reviewed not too long ago.
Indeed. Sunset Visitor. Black Tabby Publishing. But yeah, that one was quite interesting looking.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
They showed off Rift of the Necrodancer versus Undertale. That's right, it is getting an Undertale music pack, and it is out now.
Oh, okay.
Very nice. Love Shadow Drops.
Pretty sure it's out now. Yeah, out now.
Yeah, it's out
Undertale
now.
Undertale music pack reveal available now. There we go. Risk of Rain 2 getting some new DLC called Hollowed Concepts. Just got announced. Very nice. There is no date, but it is happening.
Awesome. I know a couple people that I'm friends with that are going to be super stoked for that.
There is a survival town builder called Roamstead. This one, I'm mixed on. Like, I'm not into the town building stuff, but the rest of it looked really cool.
Yeah. I felt kind of the same way.
That hurts. Hits early access May 26th. So,
probably my favorite thing of the show after I looked at it the second time.
Indeed. A game called Shift at Midnight, made by a solo dev, and he is insane.
Yeah.
He made like a 10-minute long promotional video that they showed after the trailers. That was just him explaining how the game was created, how his first game had one single sale, and how this new one has like thousands upon thousands of wish lists.
60,000 or 150,000. Yeah, it was like crazy.
When he expected 20,000 in a month, or hoped for 20,000 in a month. So that blew up for him. That comes out May 28th. Do you want to explain what this one is?
So you're working at as a clerk at like a gas station at midnight doing the, you know, the late night shift, and it's kind of like a mix of genres, like in the horror thing, and then it's got like Papers, Please kind of concepts to it, and you have to like maintain the store doing like little mini games to stock things and clean things. But you'll find that there are people who will say that they're like a stewardess, but when you look at their papers, it says they're a plumber. So clearly they are an alien or something, and you have to shoot them in the face and then clean up the dead body. And so you get to like interrogate people and find these different doppelgangers. And it just, yeah.
There were big monsters.
It's going to be multiplayer shooting as well. Yeah. I'm pretty hyped for this now.
Yeah, 1-3 co-op, 1-3 player co-op, and it is coming out May 28th. So that is very exciting. I really, really hope I could get in touch with their PR and get them on the show.
Yeah,
because I want to chat.
Yeah, it was a good presentation.
Early Access is getting a new game on April 30th with Sledding Game. Yay! Yay. I'm excited about this one. This one looks so cute. And they said it's going to be day one Game Pass. I don't know if that means it'll be game preview on the 30th as well, or if it's just Steam Early Access.
Yeah.
We'll find out. But this one, we talked about this one a couple months ago, where it's just like sledding, fishing. It's an online, just chill out and have fun game. Just a relaxed kind of social sim. They showed off a new survival game. Yes, another survival game called Solarpunk. Gonna be hitting everything in June from Rokaplay and Cyberwave.
I liked the art style of it. I just wasn't convinced of the, you know, crafting. It got to be too much for me quickly.
Spacecraft is hitting early access May 20th, where you get to build solar systems or build spaceships and explore solar systems. And this looks
I have a friend who's gonna love it.
Near my league. That's out May 20th in early access. Star Seeker Astroneer Expeditions, open beta coming to PC, PS5, and Series in April. So that looks like that's going to hit early access on everything later this month.
So I'm like weirdly picky about like crafty games and space games and whatever, but I really liked Astroneer, and being able to play with other people made it really fun. So I'm actually kind of excited for this one.
You know which one I'm excited for?
He's nuts.
The next game. Yeah, I'm pretty hyped.
Super Battle Golf was announced coming to console in summer.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for that.
Has anyone checked in on Lloyd to make sure he didn't have a heart attack?
Well, he already plays it on Steam. I think he's playing that tonight with some friends, actually. So yeah, I might be able to get him into it on console as well, and we can
might you think it's a might? Come on now.
I know he has golf with your friends on every platform. So yes,
I mean it's good to have on every platform.
He has the completion on every platform as well.
Oh my God.
That's yeah.
insane. Some of those DLC yes. courses, how?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Anyway, another game, Temtem Pioneers. Survival, creature collecting, and fast-paced action combat.
I was very disappointed they did not tell us the name of the platypus.
I know.
Yeah.
Blue alien platypus, and we don't know mm-hmm. its name.
No. There is a Temtem game that already exists, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that maybe the one that's there. Multiplayer?
I don't
this
remember.
This one is multiplayer, I think.
I don't remember. Yay.
Yeah.
The Lift is getting a console yes. release. It's coming to PS5 and Series X and S.
Oh, yeah. So fucking good.
It does.
What are your thoughts on this one?
It's awesome.
I might have to fight over it.
I'll win. It's fun.
Well, what's it about? One of you give us details on the game.
Basically, in this, you're playing a repairman who is repairing this underground facility. And there's all sorts of weird shit going on in it because apparently something escaped from the scientists at one point and killed them all. And it might kind of sort of a little bit be still down there. So you're fixing up everything and clearing out the way to fix the whole facility.
Yeah.
They haven't really explained much more beyond that with any of the trailers or anything yet. But it looks cool.
It is coming from Tiny Build, though, so that should be solid.
No. Yeah.
Next up, looks like Aki Game.
Yep, Aki Game.
Aki, just talk about it. Go ahead.
I don't know which one it is.
Thick as Thieves.
Ah, yes, it's a stealth game. It can be with co-op. And I am super excited because I love the thief games. Thief games are fun. It didn't really show if this was going to be just co-op, people working together, if this was going to be there's also another team that's going to be trying to fuck with you and steal it instead. And I really hope that's not the case. Is that,
it just says, in short session missions, play solo or with a friend in co-op multiplayer.
Doesn't say anything awesome.
About versus. It doesn't say anything about PvP, nothing like that. So
awesome.
This looks like a stealth action heist game.
Woot.
Yeah.
So everyone who likes Thief, here you go. Here's your next Thief game.
And it's out in a month and a half. May 20th.
Oh, so excited.
Yeah. Next up was Too Deep to Quit.
So this one looked really cute to me. And I wish that it was, something on console because I don't have the collection of friends on Steam right now to play games with. Cause it's a backstabby co-op mix of things and your puppets. And you get to go on these, delving missions in underground temples and thing. I don't know. It looks super fun.
Jacob, you should have said that one on the show.
Too Deep to Quit is the name of Ryan Niemiller's latest anal porn.
There you go.
Next game, Valor Mortis. Coming this fall. Another Aki game. Aki, tell us about it.
If I'm remembering correctly from stuff that was prior said, I think it's set during one of the wars in France.
Yep, Napoleonic.
Okay. And basically, they've created some machine robot fighters as well as they're coming back to life, all the living people who die. So it's going to be a new Souls-like where you're killing zombies and robots. And it just looks fucking awesome. I am super stoked for this. I've been waiting for this for a couple years now.
Very nice. And it's from the Ghost Runner devs, so it should be pretty solid.
Very nice.
Yeah. Comes to PC, Series, and PS5 this fall.
This next fall can't up, come soon enough.
I can't wait for the next one. Warhammer Survivors. New Survivors game. Official Survivors game. From with Poggle. Warhammer.
Yep.
I just want to say Poggle this.
And Auroch Digital.
I was really upset because Press Engine sent out multiple emails about it today, and it was embargoed Warhammer Survivors, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, oh, sweet, code's here. Like, so I go up on the website, not there, and then I go back and actually read the email, and then I'm like, the thing doesn't even come out till later this year. I'm so upset. I want to play this so bad.
Yeah.
I was so excited really too, because I was like, I haven't even requested it. Like,
yeah, you gotta, like, keep me updated when you do that shit.
Oh.
So, like, I know what not to do, you dork.
Oh, I have... No, the thing is that, like, honestly, I've been caught up since, what, last week? The week before? On all my Press Engine stuff? Oh, yeah,
Three quests. Anyway. Next game, what? We Were Here Tomorrow.
That is a me game for sure, and an Aki game probably, too.
Yeah, I'll help you with it. Easy peasy. These aren't too hard to do, so yeah, I'm
for it. I love the We Were Here series. It's like an asymmetrical co-op puzzle adventure, and you have to solve all these things while you're in like separate tracks, and then you meet in the middle sometimes and cross gaps, and you have to work together to figure out all these things. It's they've finally taken this into a sci-fi setting instead of a fantasy one, and I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Really good, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I have played everything in the series that they have put out, and I have enjoyed all of them. So, yes.
I've played most of them. I don't think I've played quite all of them, but they've all been pretty enjoyable.
Now, anyway, there was one final game to show off. Windrose! Bree, you're excited about this one, aren't you?
It's a me game if I can get a better graphics card for my computer.
Oh, what does it require?
I have to look it up, but I would almost guarantee it is something bigger than what I have, which is a 1650, which is nothing. So it's a pirate game, and it's...
Oh, it's that one.
Yeah, but it also has like building, crafting, and it looks really great. I've been watching some streams of people playing the betas. It looks very exciting, very in depth if you like piratey stuff, Age of Sail stuff. So yeah.
I thought it was a really good show, and it was all in like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It was really quick. I loved it. It was really good, really quick. A lot of good games shown off. A lot of good games hitting multiple platforms, which I'm happy about. You know, we love our multi-plat stuff here. Let's talk more news. Game Pass Ultimate. A lot of games coming. Like, a lot of games coming. April 3rd, we got NBA 2K26. Which was like a surprise. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
April 7th, we got Final Fantasy IV.
Yay.
April 8th, PC got DayZ.
Nice.
Yeah. April 9th, Planet Coaster 2 just hit today.
I am so excited about that. I'm kind of sad I won't be able to play it. I'll just need to buy it on sale one of these days.
Tomorrow, the 10th, Tiny Bookshop.
That looks so cute. I kind of want to play that.
It does. I want to play it too. Looks very cute. April 13th, we are getting both PC and console versions of Football Manager 26.
You can enjoy that on your own.
Indeed. April 14th, big day with The Thaumaturge.
Nice.
Hades 2.
Nice.
And Replaced.
Nice.
Very nice.
All in one day. Have fun. April 16th, NHL 26 joins EA Play. April 17th, Call of Duty Modern Warfare finally joins.
Okay.
April 21st, Vampire Crawlers.
Yeah.
That one I'm excited about.
I might skip that one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
Just too many cool things in my backlog that I want to get to that I'm afraid I'll get like addicted to it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then April 23rd, Kiln.
Nice.
Such a weird concept, but I hope it does well.
Yeah, it's the Double Fine pottery creation game. It will be hitting all platforms as well. So
nice.
Yep. Games are leaving Game Pass, though. We mentioned it last week, but we'll mention them again. The five games leaving are Ashen, Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes, GTA 5, My Little Pony, Zephyr Heights Mystery, and Terra Invicta for the PC.
Yep.
Some sad news. The dev team for the first Berserker Kazan has been dissolved due to poor sales of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've only heard good things about that game. How the hell did it sell so badly? No. That's not acceptable. No one got it.
Everyone waited for a sale and no one got it.
Oh, that sucks.
By the way, it's on sale on Xbox right now, 30% off.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Nintendo Switch Online NES is getting three new games with Pac-Man, Mendel Palace, and Tower of Druaga. A very interesting selection. And then the last bit of news I have is Nintendo announced Rhythm Heaven Groove will be launching July 2nd on the Switch.
Thanks.
So that is my news. Aki, what do you have?
All right, I got some sad news, because sad news is what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. Yoshihisa Kishimoto, the creator of the Double Dragon and River City game series, died earlier this week at 64. They didn't announce how he died, so I assume he probably just got sick and passed. Otherwise, I'm sure it would have been all over the news. So that sucks. And then I have some movie watch news. Aha!
I was not prepared at all.
Yeah. I know.
You know how to use the soundboard. You should have been ready for this shit yourself.
I don't want to, though.
Play your own goddamn sound file.
Dumbass!
Fine.
Okay, I'll play it for you.
All right,
it's movie watch. There.
So, this isn't something specific on any like upcoming news or anything, but no, a place decided in their infinite wisdom to look through all the interviews that an actor that I don't know if I'm gonna be able to pronounce his name right, Mackinyu. Maybe, who plays Zoro in the One Piece live action show that I think is a Netflix Zorro one.
Okay.
And they took and ran all of his interviews and stuff through AI, so a place could create a fake interview with him because he couldn't be there.
I thought it was GQ that did it.
I believe it was Esquire Singapore
it was Esquire, yeah.
Okay.
But he apparently was going to be in an interview with them, and then something ended up happening that he couldn't make it. So they decided, well, let's just AI slopify this bitch, and did that without telling anybody. And it has, not gone over very well yeah, as one might possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's fun. Don't take shortcuts, people. Just fucking get an interview when someone's able to do an interview if they have to drop. Don't just make bullshit up, okay? Just because it hurts. It hurts your publication. And that's all my news. That was hilarious. So,
Bree, what do you got?
PlayStation delisted a bunch of games from their storefront recently as part of their continued efforts to get rid of misleading games and slop. But that also amusingly involved a game called Jesus Simulator that they removed one day before Easter. People have joked that it would just return in 3 days' time.
That's very good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was good. If you're an Xbox insider, you might have noticed some changes to achievements. There's been a visual refresh with new icons and animations. There's better custom color matching for your gamertag persona. And also with these updates, you'll be able to hide games from your achievement list. You'll be able to highlight games and filter to find games achievements to make it easier to find like completed games and things like that. I haven't personally seen any of these changes because I haven't logged into the upstairs Xbox for one, and two, I haven't unlocked an achievement in a few days, and yes, I'm feeling fine, I'm just busy with life. these changes will roll out for different insider rings soon, and eventually to the public.
I have not seen any of them yet.
I've seen some clips from other people that have popped them, but yeah.
I gotta pop something on my console. Everything I've gotten lately has been on computer. I played that Bubbles game that they put out on PC. Did you see that one?
No.
Just like a free Busta Groove style game.
Oh, yeah. I saw that came out a couple weeks ago. Yeah, yeah. But no, I have to use... I don't have the Series console enrolled in the Insider program. I have my Xbox One X in the Insider program in the Alpha Ring, so I'll be able to go upstairs and take a look at that maybe later tonight, maybe tomorrow, but yeah.
Oh, that reminded me of another piece of news. Do you mind if I cut in real quick, Bray?
Cut in, by all means.
Because Microsoft is just the company that keeps on giving. Well, apparently the Artemis 2 launch was slightly messed up because they were having a problem with Outlook.
I remember that.
Yeah. Another thing Microsoft has been fiddling with Copilot. Yay! Again, just for my own amusement, I love watching them burn everything around them because they're obsessed with this AI crap that hasn't worked out for them at all. Oh, that's great. Anyways, continue, Bree. Sorry.
And the last thing I have is movie watch.
What the fuck?
It's movie watch.
There. Oh, well, that was insane. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I hit it at almost the same time as someone else, apparently.
Me.
Yep. So, The Legend of Zelda, I can't even talk, The Legend of Zelda live-action movie is using some of the same filming locations as Lord of the Rings to represent Hyrule, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Nifty. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And you have to have really pretty, you know, forests and, you know, shires and stuff, and, well,
exactly.
If it's good enough for Lord of the Rings, it damn well better be good enough for Zelda.
They should have hobbits in the movie.
Yes.
I mean, Elijah Wood to pop up.
Hey, everyone.
But yeah, that is all my news.
All right, Jacob, what do you got?
Okay. So a free-to-play Borderlands mobile game has suddenly shown up on iPhones, which is now being told as, it's not actually a new game. It's a limited-time test. Oh. So get it if you want to, but a lot of people are just like, oh, Zynga's behind it. Never mind. So
I was like loading up the store on my phone and then you said Zynga's involved. I just put my phone down. I'm like, nope.
So it is pretty much described as a looter shooter. Like people who have played it say it's set somewhere around Borderlands 3, probably before Borderlands 4. Not like it, I don't know, but everyone's expecting this thing to die immediately. So there's that. The Cube Save Us, which is an extraction shooter. Are you familiar with it?
Nope.
No?
I am not, no.
No, well, that's because it just launched 3 weeks ago and it's already shutting down.
Oh, what is
it? So, it's a live service extraction shooter. Post-apocalyptic extraction shooter developed by XL Games. It will have an end to its... The devs have said that the story will actually reach a conclusion when it closes on May 8th. So...
That's unbelievable!
Oh my God.
What?
May 8th.
Yeah, 30 days. So, I know we don't talk about NFTs and blockchain. Like, it's probably been a year since we've even said those words. Remember Robot Cash?
No.
No.
No, of course you don't, because we avoided blockchain crap and NFTs. So the idea of it was that it was going to be like Steam, but it's on the blockchain, and with it, any games that you buy, you could sell them to other people, and, you know, something. Okay, great. So, it's apparently shutting down. A couple of users on Reddit have confirmed that they've received emails from the team, but, any attempts at reaching out to Robot Cash is, nobody's... They're not getting anything. The official social media for them hasn't posted since 2023. Its Discord server only has one remaining moderator.
Lord.
Yeah. So in 30 days, if you had any games on Robot Cash, they're going to go away. Even if you downloaded them to your computer, because the verification system, aka DRM, that was attached to them, their verification system's going to go down in 30 days. So you lose everything. Oh, and also if you had any kind of currency with Robot Cash, that's also going kaput. And my favorite tidbit of this article from PC Gamer about it, a 2025 report to investors available on Robot Cash's website states that the storefront only generated $532 in revenues from game software sales in 2024.
Wow.
The same report shares that as of December that year, the company had an accumulated deficit of over $30 million.
That's hilarious.
Oh, God.
I love it.
All right. And... now my time. Oh God damn it! I can't find it now.
It's movie watch. There.
Cause I'm about to eat that ass.
Anyway,
dumbass.
Yay!
All Why right. did you use that button? You can just make the fucking sound yourself.
I know. I couldn't find it. I couldn't. Oh! You mean the yay? I thought you meant the movie watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't find Movie Watch at first, and somebody beat me to it. And then I was like, man. Yeah, whatever.
Come All right. on, let's get the goddamn show moving.
I'm trying to, but you're like, okay. So there's some video game called Home Safety Hotline. It's some sort of horror thriller. I don't know anything about it. It seems like it's kind of like... kind of like a Five Nights at Freddy's kind of thing, except you're playing as a phone operator at a mysterious home security company, only to realize that they specialize in protecting customers from horrific monsters that come out at night. So it's going to get turned into a movie.
Hmm.
There is a new Mortal Kombat 2 trailer that's out now. That shows off some extra footage. Also, Warner Brothers has announced that there will now be an early fan event where you can now see the film on I think it's coming out on a Friday. But with this fan event, you'll get to see it 2 days early in IMAX. So I'm guessing that they think that there's going to be a lot of good word of mouth on this. And also, fun thing in the... trailer, you get to see a cameo by Ed Boon. one of the creators of Mortal Kombat.
Interesting.
Nice. And I have some TV news.
All right.
Amazon has asked that the TV adaptation of Mass Effect to be rewritten to make it more appealing to non-gamers, quote unquote.
Oh, so they want to ruin it. They need to shut the fuck up and just let it play.
Yeah, they, yeah. My guess, my guess is that, like, they're hoping for a repeat of, like, Fallout, and how Fallout seems to have, you know, made that nice in-between for people who actually have played the games and those who haven't. Also, I didn't know about this, but casting details were also leaked towards the end of last year. They're looking for a young Colin Farrell-type male, age 30 to 39, with open ethnicity, a female co-lead alien character requiring prosthetics. So, that's actually a few characters. Anyway, a Doug Jones-type male villain, a male wrestler-type soldier, and a human female providing a parallel narrative from Earth. Ooh.
You should just get Doug Jones.
Yeah, I think they're just going to get Doug Jones.
They should. If you need a Doug Jones type, you just get Doug Jones.
Yeah, he already did Star Trek Discovery, so why not just hop over to Mass Effect?
Yeah. All right, any other news?
Nope, that is it.
Very sad just now.
What?
I have finally run out of the last dab.
Oh, no.
Yes, I am very saddened.
The last dab?
Yes, it's the hot sauce Joe bought me.
Oh.
That super hot, ridiculous shit. That kind of okay. A little over a year ago.
Damn, that lasted.
Yeah, I couldn't pour it on there like I do everything else, but it makes me sad, because I just dropped the last bit of it on the burrito that just finished cooking, and I am so sad now. Ugh, my heart.
Okay, should we get to reviews now?
Yes.
Yeah, I figure.
Yay. First game tonight, Mega Man Star Force Legacy Collection, Part 2. Developed and published by Capcom, provided to us by Capcom. Thank you, Capcom. Jacob, say thank you.
Thank you, Capcom. I love you.
Released March 20th. Legends
and Battle Network series on
here. Released March 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, $39.99. It's the year 2200X, and the world has seen rapid advancements in wave technology. Our protagonist, 11-year-old Geostellar, refuses to go to school as he mourns the disappearance of his astronaut father. One night, he's at the observatory gazing at the stars as he usually does, and suddenly his transmitter picks up a signal from space. He's hit with a powerful electric shock when he comes to an electromagnetic wave body called Omega X standing over him. Jacob, you talked about the first game? Yep. Last week, and now the 2 and 3 this week?
Yep, back to back. And it's kind of interesting because, like, the series only had 3 entries. There was supposed to be a 4th one, but that got canceled due to low sales of Mega Man Star Force 3. So, unfortunately, like, this is all we're going to get so far anyway. But Mega Man Star Force... Do you want me to, like, rehash, like, how the game looks and plays and stuff like that?
No, people could just listen to our review part one last week the nitty-gritty on the game.
All right, so much like how I said, like, you know, this is when Mega Man kind of went, like, Pokemon-ish, except instead of, like, you know, all these, like, little monster things running around, it's battle cards, and some of them will be different between each version of it. Well, Mega Man Star Force 2 had 2 different versions, and instead on this one, I mean, not only did you have the battle card differences, but there's also these different transformations that exist in this game. and it's Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander. Oh, sorry, no. It's Thunder Zerker, Wood Ninja, and Fire Saurian, which is once which you could use once you get the special artifact, which is called Oop Art, like OOP Art. And that's how you transform, and you can use these other different cards, which will have different abilities and stuff like that. However, you like instead of you only having to choose between one of them, you can actually mess with all three. There is a technique called Double Tribe, where you can use two out of the three to create all these different combinations of attacks and stuff like that you can do. And each one has like difference in stats, obviously. So, you know, it's one of those, you have to play to your enemy's weaknesses. Yeah, like there's the battle cards, like, you know, if you played the first one, like it's very similar to this. Yeah, like there's not like this one didn't, aside from the tribe thing, this one doesn't like stray too much, in my opinion, from the first one in terms of gameplay.
What about the third one?
Like, as an older guy, well, let me finish. Like, as an older guy, like, who grew up with like the original Mega Man, and not as this, like, as I said, like kind of like collectible pocket monster kind of, like, you know, Pokemon kind of line. It's real weird playing these games, because it's just like I like it, but at the same time it feels convoluted to me. I don't know. Like it's real interesting getting to play these as a Mega Man fan. I mean, first off, I'm playing them like 20 years after they came out, almost 20 years. But I'm also playing them much later in life than when I first played the original series. And it's just like, it's real interesting to see how far it came, from when I was a kid, you know, playing like Mega Man, like 4 through 6. But yeah, anyway, so Mega Man Star Force 3, a lot of the same kind of gameplay. The main difference on this is, again, it's battle cards. But what you can do with the battle cards now is that you can put, like, you can kind of like sort them. And so you could put them behind a card that's already in play. And then you can make the decision whether you want to like do some sort of like combination between the card and the card that's behind it. Or save it for, you know, whether you're going to make it, whether you're going to make it use its element that's on the card itself. And then there's also this thing that was, it's called Noise, and I was not a fan of this, but it is like, essentially, depending on how, you defeat enemies, you get this like noise percentage, quote unquote, and it's like more abilities are going to become available to Mega Man as he plays, and it's kind of like leveling up, but it like it's per battle based, and it just like, I don't know, it just feels like it tacks on way too much. Like, and of course, like, you can change how you're able to, like, you can kind of like level up the noise in a way. So pretty much like you have to use like these cards that take out the HP of viruses, and then also different attacks will also give extra of it, and it's just, I don't know. I wasn't as big of a fan of it. Like, it's not bad. It just feels like it's something else that got added just so they could say, like, all right, look, it's brand new and shiny. I wasn't as much of a fan of the gameplay on this one, but like, it's still solid. But yeah, like, this is a really interesting collection. Especially since like these have never been available on an Xbox system before. So I'm psyched that these are available, and I highly recommend checking them out. Like, and Capcom, if you actually are listening, please, for the love of God, release Battle Network and Legends on Xbox as well, please.
Let's stick with the one that exists first.
I can still beg.
I mean, they might hear the Legends thing and be like, okay, we're not taking them serious anymore.
Oh.
How dare they like Legends? All right, well, the collection of the first, second, and third game and their variants is available now for $40. What do you think of the entire package?
Absolutely. It's totally worth it. Like, I mean, like, one of these games was worth $40 when it came out way back in the day. Get all three? Hell yeah. That's a total bonus. Like, you should get it if you're a fan of the Mega Man series, but also, like, if you're looking for, like, a new experience in them, because you never got a chance to play these because you were like me and you only had Microsoft consoles. So, yeah. Hop into it now. Highly recommend.
All right. Next up, we're going with Erebon Shadow Legacy, developed by Baby Robot Games, published by Select to Play. This one comes out next week on the 16th. Series X and S and PS5 for $19.99. Erebon Shadow Legacy is a fast-paced stealth platformer where you become Ayana, the last descendant of a forgotten race. Harness mystical shadow powers, high-tech gadgets, and avoid or kill to uncover the truth about your past and the key to saving a dying, morally gray universe. What will your legacy be? Aki, I'm guessing your legacy is a trail of blood and bodies.
No, actually. First playthrough, I decided to be not seen and not heard and no kills. Because I'm cool like that or something.
All right, well, what's the game?
So in this, you play as a member of this race who can dissolve into the shadows and move about. And you're there to basically help them, and then it seems like they're about to torture you, so you escape from these people. And very quickly crash land on this random ass planet, and you start working your way through it and through all of their robots that very much want you dead if they see you. So yay! And you're basically, you're seeking through the shadows and trying to get in elevated places so these robots don't see you. Some of them are marching around, some of them are just standing in place looking around, hoping to catch you. And you gain power energy, I guess we'll call it, while you're in the shadow. But you lose it once you walk into the light. So a lot of this game isn't played in the middle of the night for reasons I don't comprehend why you wouldn't just do everything at night. But hey, that's them for you. And as you beat each level, you get some points that allow you to level up that gives you new abilities that you can choose. And you can choose one of two pathways, basically. You can choose all the abilities that don't hurt people, or all the fun abilities. It's up to you. And you just play through the game. There's, 10 levels, I think? Something like that? To play through.
So it's level-based and not, like, open world or anything?
Yeah, it's level-based. Gotcha. And it's all linear level-based, so you can't go back to the prior levels. After you...
How long are the levels?
Oh, they can be pretty sizable. They can be upwards of an hour plus long, easily.
Oh, geez.
These are not small levels.
Are there checkpoints that you could stop mid-mission?
Oh, yeah, there's okay. A fuck ton of checkpoints. Checkpoints are at the beginning of every section. Because once you get through a section, you very quickly realize it because it looks different. So it's not like, oh, you get through this section, so you step through this door, and now you're in another area. No. It might be like, oh, you've gone through this little village, and you've gone up this hill. Now you're in a new section. And you get those kind of checkpoints pretty regularly. Every one of these little areas can take you anywhere from, 5 minutes to significantly longer to get through. It depends on how quickly you figure out the patterns for the enemies moving, or in my case, how much of it you remember from the last time you played it back on Steam, like 3-4 years ago or whatever it was. In my case, I got through most of the areas in like 5-ish minutes because I remembered it. But that's kind of cheating. you will be expected to play through it twice, though, at least, because there is basically achievement for not getting seen at all, which is easy to get with either of the other ones. But then there's two mutually exclusive ones. There's one for being a ghost, which means you're not killing anybody, nobody's being left. You're good. And one for slaughtering absolutely every fucking thing that's in between you and the exit. Which was how I played my first playthrough, because that was more fun. There's also abilities that you get. As I said, there's two pathways. You can choose whatever ability on the pathway you want. So, like, each level, there's choose this ability or this ability. And every level does that. So, there are achievements for using certain abilities. And there's ones on both sides that require it. There's, I believe, also achievements for having all the powers of one type and all the powers of the other type, and then having a mixture. So you're expected to play this at least twice, maybe three times. So wow. Have fun. Yeah, yeah. This is a decently long game. I think the first time I played it, it took me like 20-ish hours to finish my entire first playthrough. But I didn't know what the fuck I was doing half the time, so, to be fair. And I think I was playing it on the hardest difficulty, so, which is also another achievement. It's not particularly hard, even, which is nice, even on the hardest difficulty, it's not too bad. Especially if you've decided, if it's in my way, it's gonna fucking die. Then it's a lot easier, which is great. So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it, because instead of just being like, oh, I'm walking through the shadows. No, you literally merge with them and move around sometimes. And it's fun. Yeah. Any questions?
No, not really.
Okay.
You like it?
Yes, it is very fun. It is a stealth game. This is very much a stealth game. If you get caught, you're fucked. Because you're probably not going to be able to escape them. You can. It's not easy to do. If you get away from them long enough, they will eventually give up and go back to what they were doing. But good luck with doing that, because it is just hard and it calls more enemies. So it just makes the game harder and harder the more you fuck up. So don't fuck up. But I'm a stealth player, so I didn't fuck up.
Cool. $20. Do you have a verdict?
100% for this. If you like stealth games, this is totally going to be right up your alley. If you don't like stealth games, I don't know if this will change your mind, because it is sometimes a little clunky, but I really like it. I'm totally for it.
All right. Sounds good. Moving on is Chainstaff, developed and published by Mommy's Best Games, released April 8th, Xbox One, Series, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, $14.99. Chainstaff is a brutal action platformer with a transforming spear and grappling hook, blazing weapon upgrades, and a rockin' soundtrack. Aliens have attached to your head. Swing, shoot, and spear your way through mutated hordes and bone-shaking boss fights, and get this thing off your head. I believe everyone had a little bit of time with this one. Who wants to start off with Chainstaff? Who can start off at Chainstaff?
I just realized I'm muted.
Oh, I was too. Go ahead, Jacob.
Oh my God.
What? I'm polite during other people's reviews, so I always mute myself. And then I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so action platformer, you play as this super soldier guy who had some sort of alien thing attached to it to you, and then you have to run through this you have to go through all these different levels, but like you start off on a training thing, which I always appreciate when there's a tutorial for the game, and this is how you learn how to use your newfound powers. And believe it or not, it's actually kind of neat. I wasn't sure how much I was going to enjoy this, but it's like part missile, part grappling hook. and so you could charge up these shots, you know, use it to destroy different enemies, and then it comes back to you kind of like a boomerang fashion. You can use it then as a grappling hook to like get up like to higher places, but then there's also another ability that you have with it that I thought that I thought this was pretty cool. You can make it into like this bridge, and you can like make it bend, like so you can get across like wide gaps. It works so much better than like the rush platforms from like the various Mega Man games. Like so many of those used to piss me off. Like I loved how you could control where he's going. Like fantastic. But you pretty much just go through these levels. As I said, like you're blasting enemies, and like there is like a plot to it. I didn't really get to follow that much of it. But yeah.
Bree, what do you think of it?
The whole thing felt very 80s to me, like from themes and art design to the music. You've got your one-eyed alien bug for a head and a segmented scorpion tail on a human body. It was pretty wild.
I love the art direction he went with in this game.
Yeah. It felt like vaguely Contra-like in the beginning, in that it kind of had that run and gun feel to it, but it's not. It's a side-scrolling platform shooter instead. It had two difficulties, easy and normal. I totally cheaped out and went easy. And apparently there's some cheat codes you can find out there in the wild, like on their Discord and stuff, that you can manually type in.
They also just tell you to just randomly start typing shit in.
I mean, yeah. I thought that the chain staff was like a lot of stuff going on with it.
It's, you know, neat though.
It is. Like, it's different. You can shoot in all directions. You can hold left trigger to aim with like a laser to shoot more precise. It did feel like a lot to get used to at first. But if you don't like the button layout, you can remap the controls, which I appreciate. I also barely got to touch on the building weapons and shields between levels. You rescue soldiers in the levels, or you can apparently like eat their brains or something, and there's an achievement for that as well. I think. Yeah. And when you rescue soldiers, you get alien technology that gives you the ability to build like new weapons and shields and stuff. So that was pretty cool. It's there's a lot more to it than just the standard platformy shooter.
Hagi, do you have any thoughts?
I'm not very good at these games, is my thought. Cause some of the areas, like there's the ability to like swing around by your staff thingy, and that's cool. It if you're good at it, otherwise you're just flinging yourself off into things that you're not trying to fling yourself off into, or you're smacking into enemies that you're not supposed to be smacking into. I'm really, really surprisingly bad at this.
Surprising? I don't think it's surprising at all.
No, it probably shouldn't be. When I was playing this, I was thinking very much, oh, this is very much like Contra myself. Except for with swinging mechanics that I'm possibly even worse at than Contra. So this is probably not exactly a game for me. Visually, though, it is a very interesting looking game at the very least. I absolutely love the character design for the main character, for your character. I absolutely love it. It's so cool looking. But maybe not necessarily my game, because I'm just so fucking bad at it. So bad at it. For me, these games are like Jacob on everything else.
Ooh, rude.
Honest. It's just honesty. That's how bad I am at this. So, yeah, probably not necessarily for me.
But I'm keeping this one around on my Xbox. Like, this is a good one to dick around with.
I'm hoping one day I can 100% this game. Hoping.
If you can't.
I probably can't.
If you never do. I'm a dick.
Oh, I hope someone kicks you right in the balls. So, you know, fair.
Life already has.
Well, not enough.
I agree. All right. Well, the game clocks in at $14.99. What do the three of you think of Chainstaff?
I could give it a try. I thought it was pretty interesting. I liked the menu layout where you like select your level and you get to like pull the launch handle. And it was just there was a lot of clever stuff going on with this game, but I don't know that it's for me. So definitely a try it.
I'm personally going to go with a pass for me, because again, for me, these games just I don't have the attachment to it because I didn't play stuff like Contra when I was a kid. So I don't have the attachment to these older, more retro style games. So I'm going to pass on this one. If you do like that stuff, this is probably going to be right up your alley, though.
Jacob,
what's the price of it?
$14.99.
Yeah, I'd give it a buy it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. So, yeah,
go for it. We've officially hit all three verdicts on one game.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. All of them
happen. Doesn't happen too often.
No. Nope. That's a unique circumstance.
I fucking hate you, Joe. You bitch.
Yeah. Next up, Beyond Words, developed by Mindfuel Games, published by P-Cube. Released April 9th, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC, $14.99. From the creators of GoldenEye and Time Splitters comes Beyond Words, a genre-defining fusion of roguelike strategy and word crafting. Build powerful combos, unlock upgrades, master a challenge where victory is spelled one letter at a time. Build powerful word combos, unlock game-changing upgrades, and journey through a living puzzle shaped by your decisions. Every choice, every letter, every placement matters. Jacob, what is Beyond Words?
You ever played Scrabble?
Yes.
All right, there we go. Review done.
No.
All right, so it's not actually just Scrabble. Very similar to it, which for those, do you need me to describe Scrabble?
Briefly, I guess.
Okay, it's a board game where you have all these like wooden tiles of letters, and each of the letters have a numerical value, point value, attached to them. And then on the board, which is set up like a grid, there are various spots where you'll get like a multiplier for having, you know, put the word on this spot or having it start on that spot. And yeah, that's pretty much Scrabble. Okay. Good enough of a description?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So a lot of previews for this game described it as kind of like Balatro meets Scrabble. I'm not familiar with Balatro. I didn't play it. I know lots of people who were addicted to it for a bit.
You played how did I forget with Clover Pit, right?
Yeah.
It's Clover Pit kind of like but with thing. Poker. Instead of slots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The whole genre is basically that, but with different thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So with this, what you're doing is that you're going to have, like, there are some games of Beyond Words that you're just going to be able to breeze through and get enough points and whatever. Now there are these cards that you can purchase. And some of them are specific to the game that you're going to play. Other ones are like permanent upgrades. And it's stuff like all vowels that you put down on this game, like they have a 5x multiplier, or any game or any 5-letter word like automatically grants like a 20 multiplier or something. Like, you get the idea.
Yeah.
And then there's like other random, like weird stuff that gets thrown around every once in a while. Like other, like oddly specific ones are kind of fun. And so it becomes a challenge for you to be able to use all of your letters, because of course you only have so much of a board to play on, but the game gives you these challenges, which eventually will end in a boss battle. And so you're going to have to like play like four levels, just before you get to the boss. And what happens with that kind of stuff is that the same board gets used game after game after game. And so things that you placed back on the first game is going to affect you on the fourth game later on. And that can really screw you over sometimes, if you didn't get creative on word placement. But yeah, like honestly, like as long as you're okay with understanding, you're not always going to like there's games where it's like, it's not that you didn't play well. It's just, you weren't going to be able to get the scores high enough to satisfy, like, you know, beating the boss of that level. And so you're going to have to go back and play again and again and again. So if you're a big fan of Scrabble or other word games, this is totally up your alley. I mean, also like, you know, if you're just really trying to learn new words and stuff like that, because I will say this, it does have a fairly robust dictionary in it, and it also lets you use names and
proper nouns,
abbreviations. And so, and then also there are wild card tiles that you can use too. Some of them can represent any letter. Other ones can only represent vowels, but not Y, which I thought was very interesting. But yeah, like, so if, as I said, if you're a big fan of word games, like definitely check this thing out. Like, it's a really cool puzzle game. If you're expecting like action and adventure, this is not going to be it. this is not a very visually exciting game, but damn, yeah. Is it.
All right. Well, it's $15. We need an official verdict.
Absolutely. For $15. Isn't it on Game Pass, or is it coming to?
No.
No. For some reason, no. I thought it was. Okay. Never mind. Sorry. Gee whiz.
Well, I just said no.
No, I know, but it was the way you said no.
Listen, bitch, I'll cut you. It is on sale for the first 2 weeks at $11.99. You could save a couple of bucks there.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Incantation, developed by Soft Star Entertainment and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released April 8th, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC, $24.99. Incantation is a first-person horror-themed adventure game adapted from the live-action film of the same name. Beyond the palpable madness and fear in the village, there's a sinister force that drives one to despair. What happens when one crosses the forbidden line of this evil deity? Aki, what is the evil deity, and did you cross it?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I very much crossed it, and I don't think it's very happy with me. What it is... evil? A jackass? A thief? So you play as a young woman. She had her kid kidnapped, a little baby, and she's finally learned that maybe the kid might be in this middle of fucking nowhere shithole. So she's enlisted the help of a police officer who still believes that they might one day find the kid, because it's been years, apparently, I think. And yeah, so you guys get in a wreck in this mountainous area, and you start off searching for him, and then bad, weird, freaky-deaky shit just keeps on fucking happening all up in this bitch. First you need to start trespassing because the road's blocked, so you go through a pathway that says, do not enter, stay off our property, fuck off, you know, all that fun stuff. And you promptly ignore that because it's a choice between that, the car that's taking out over the entire road because it's crashed and a pathway you can't get through because there's lots of rocks in the way. So the path of least resistance is to piss off whoever owns that property instead. Woohoo! Well, you find your way to this village, and it appears the people in the village all worship the Mother Buddha, or Buddha Mother, something like that. The people have gone a little bit of what I would call batshit fucking insane. They've started carving and writing scripture into their own bodies, because, you know, that's healthy. A number of them also seem to be sick. And if you have tryptophobia, probably don't play this. And for people who are like, what the fuck's that? That's the people who get freaked out when they see, like, lots of holes where there shouldn't be holes and stuff. Yeah, you start seeing that on people's bodies when they're sick, too. And it's freaky deaky, and I like it. I think it's cool. The people start going crazy and chasing after you. And sometimes you start seeing other paranormal things, like you'll walk through an area and then, wait, why am I back in this area again? Okay. Why isn't this lady noticing me now? Whatever, I'll just keep going. She hung herself. Oh, well, that's not good. Well, let's keep walking. Oh, and I'm back here again, huh? So, yeah, you got little puzzles like that you have to figure out, because otherwise you're stuck going through the same little loop for dun dun dun.
We didn't hear the forever part because you whispered too quietly.
Damn.
Yep.
See, I could hear it through my head.
Yeah, it's a Discord thing. It's a Discord thing.
Yeah, it bothers me. Because I assume when I can hear it, you can all hear it. I do not apologize. You're just trying to get through these crazy people. You know, some of them have just gone crazy and are just doing their mantras, just sitting around doing mantras. Others are crazy and attack you with knives and the like. Thankfully, if most of these people catch you, you can just constantly tap A to break free, and when you do, you render them unconscious by slamming them into the ground. Others, like, I don't know, possibly a certain police officer, if they catch you, they're gonna beat you to death, and they're not very nice about it. All while you're doing all this, you also happen to find yourself a mysterious little girl, and you don't know who she is, but this place is real fucky wucky. It seems like they tear the ears off of young kids occasionally for some sort of ritual to give it to the Buddha Mother, or Mother Buddha, whatever it is. And you're just trying to figure out where the fuck your kid is, if your kid's here, and what the fuck is going on in this messed up tiny little mountain town, and you're trying to survive the whole time. Realistically, if you know what you're doing, you can beat the game in like 3 or 4 hours. It's not a particularly long game. It's like 5 chapters long. I'm in chapter 4 right now, just because I'm trying to do all the collectibles, and until you get them all, it's real hard to know how many you have left in a chapter.
Yeah.
So, all the achievements for the game are collect all the items, which are collectibles, collect all the notes, which are collectibles, collect all the something else, which are collectibles, and then beating that chapter. So it's like all the collectibles in that chapter and the chapter. So you got 4 achievements for each chapter. It's real nice. and yeah, it's a pretty straightforward, fairly linear game. Some of the puzzles can be figured out slightly out of order-ish, kind of. But yeah, it has a nice creepy atmosphere. I did not fear P at all, or ever feel the need to fear P at this one, but it is kind of creepy, and I really like games like this.
Good visually, good horror vibes and grimy details.
It's okay visually. It's not the most impressive graphics I've seen, but it's an indie game. It's pretty good graphics for an indie game. It has amazing atmosphere. I love the atmosphere. It's very much Asian horror, so as long as y'all like that, it's real good. sounds are pretty good in it. Everything is well voice acted and everything. So yeah, I'm pretty impressed with it overall.
I'll tell you now, the reason it feels Asian is because the devs are from Taiwan.
Yeah,
who would have thought?
They also do the Sword and Fairy and Xuan Yuan series.
Xuan Yuan, I love that series. Those are good games. Sword and Fairy is pretty good too.
So,
I think I've only played one of each of those.
$25 on Incantation. If you buy it in the next 2 weeks, at least on Xbox, it's 10% off, $22.49. $25, what is your verdict?
I think this is a pretty good, solid try it to buy it. If you really like these more kind of walkie sim, puzzly style games, definitely a buy it. If you're like, I don't know, but you like Asian horror, I think it's at least a try it.
Gotcha. All right, let's move on to Nippets. Great name. Developed and published by Blink Industries. It released April 7th on Steam, $12.99. A hand-drawn hidden object game inspired by the joys of people watching and telling small stories. Shake trees, peek through windows, and spin curious objects to uncover secrets and follow the lives of its charming inhabitants. Bree, what is Nippets?
This is a hidden stuff game, and there are also cats. It's all hand-drawn, and it's darling. The things in your scene are animated and lively, like flickering candles, floating rubber ducks, swaying plants, popping bubbles. And in the first, like, main scene, which is spring, you have a whole living city to explore and interact with. Later seasons have moving water and fish and so much more. You can move, slide, pop, poke, and just generally tinker with so many things in the environment using your mouse. To move around the larger scenes, you either need to WASD it, or you can just right-click and drag with your mouse, which is what I ended up doing. Everything else is interactable with your mouse. You can also zoom in and out with just the scroll wheel, which was pretty handy. To find all the things in a scene, you'll have to... You have like a bar at the bottom, and there's a list of clues and shape outlines of what you're looking for. Once you find the item, it fills in on your bottom bar, and then you'll have an opportunity to move it to its rightful place in the scene. Or sometimes there are bars that fill up when you find, say, all the pieces of trash or a bunch of cats in the scene. And then you might have to shoo away all the pigeons. There's even places you can go inside, like different apartments in the city, to find missing objects or get achievements. I got one achievement called A Little to the Right for fixing the orientation of a poster frame on the wall. I thought that was cute. To find all the things, you need to use your wits and your eyes. You might get a clue about melons being the passion of a drum player. And once you find all the melons, you have to return them to where the drums are by dragging them from your bar to where you see a drum set in the supermarket with a melon display. I don't know why that was the clue, but it worked. And then that item is truly checked off your list. Maybe a better example might be like... There's like the kid lost his ball. It went up and never came down. And so you find the ball in the tree and you shake the tree enough times and the ball falls out. And then you have to figure out where the kid is crying in the scene to give him his ball back. And the objects often look the slightest bit out of place. Sometimes they blend fairly well if you aren't looking at the context of the scene. But you never really know what is interactable until you try wiggling it with a mouse. You might need to shake a tree, like I said, to get the ball out. You might need to pull glasses from the table to someone's face or put a tip in the jar. You might also need to fulfill one goal to get at another, like getting the trash in the truck makes the truck go away, revealing one of the birds you're trying to shoo. You never really know what you're going to find, like I said, until you click and move things around.
Except and, cats, and you'll find cats.
Yeah. And sometimes things don't really matter to the list of things or achievements, like, but you don't know until you touch something whether it has a purpose or not. And I found that to be a lot of fun. Once you complete enough of one level, I think it's like 71% or something, you unlock the next and you can exit out and come back later to find the rest of the stuff if you want. But there's a kind of story going on if you're paying attention across the seasons, and it's cute. There were also a bunch of little references to things, whether in achievement names or clues or just around the environment. Like, there's a clue about a trillionaire named Bozos who's looking for his lost cat. And when you find him, he's like a bald Dr. Evil looking guy on a yacht, and you return the cat for him to pet. And then, like, later in another season, you find Bozos in a tent with his cat, and you have to give him a sleeping bag to get, like, that part of the puzzle done. There's a portal gun in the game. Like, there's lots of cool stuff to find going on, and their own, you know, interesting personal stories that they've created.
You were going to say it.
The seasons. I was.
You were going to say it.
I was.
You should have said it.
I was. I know. I was going to say unique, and I stopped myself.
Unique.
I know. Your main interface for the game is the kitchen. You place your awards on the fridge, things like magnets and like the different achievements you get. And then when you unlock a level, you drag a picture of that season, like spring or fall or whatever, to the fridge, and then you can click on it to go into the level, and that's your main interface. I just thought that was really cute. You can also change profiles from there if you have multiple people playing on your computer. And you can even play with the kitchen appliances and pet the cats. The visual look of the game is just fabulous. Again, it's all hand-drawn and animated. The color palettes were pleasing mixes of mute backgrounds with pops of color or brighter scenes with tons to see. The music was jazzy with a nice beat. Really, it's probably like lo-fi. And the sound effects were great. When you touch things, they make noise oftentimes, like cars will honk or cats will meow and stuff like that. So many meows. The game is really creative, full of things to explore, find, shake, move. It's a relatively short experience that doesn't have a ton of replayability, but I think the experience is a great one.
I think it says offers 2 to 3 hours of gameplay, something like that.
Yeah, and I think that might stretch to like 4 hours if you're, you know, only doing it in little spurts. You know, you can drag that out a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, skill dependent too, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jacob, it'll take a couple years. Clocks in, $12.99. What's your thoughts?
I thought it was like a little extra layer to the average hidden object game, or hidden stuff game, hidden cat game, whatever you're looking for. Just because of the way that you had to find things with these clues, and once you find them, you still have to return them. So there was extra layers to it, and I think the price is right for something hand drawn and full of just fun adventure. I would give this a buy it.
Very good. I like this one. It looks really cute.
Yeah.
All right. We got one final game to talk about tonight. That is Retro Drive Revamped, developed by Retro Drive Studio, published by No Gravity Games, released March 27th, Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Burn rubber through the neon-lit streets of Retropolis in Retro Drive Revamped, an indie arcade racer steeped in 80s nostalgia. Dodge deadly laser gates and outrun relentless police as you chase friends across vibrant retro tracks. Master high-speed challenges in a thrilling time capsule of arcade fun packed with pop culture nods. This gem delivers pure addictive racing action. Jacob, what is Retro Drive Revamped?
So Retro Drive Revamp is, it's an arcade racer. If you really like that vaporware aesthetic, that, you know, is quote unquote the 80s. You know, like everyone thinks of the 80s when they see it. So in this game, obviously, as I said, it's an arcade racer. You and your friends are racing around this place called Retropolis. And you have all sorts of events that you have to complete. And also, while you're doing all these races, you have to, like, you have to deal with all the normal crap that's on the road, aka other drivers. But then there's also going to be all this random, like, stuff that you'll have to avoid. Like a lot of traps, Anyways, it's just crap on the road they have to avoid. I will warn you, this game does start slow because your car, this is supposed to be your first car. So guess what? It handles like a tank. It is an absolute bear to get anything done in. But that's why you keep racing, and that's why you keep doing stuff, because you're collecting currency to upgrade your cars. But also, as you do more events, you're going to unlock more stuff. And once you get other cars, you're off to the races.
No.
Whatever.
Bad.
You're no fun.
Bad.
But honestly, the big selling point of this is the visuals, but also the absolute killer soundtrack. It is just good to like just chill and listen to. This is a decently fun arcade game. I wish it started off a little quicker, but I'm having fun with it. I'm going to keep it on my Xbox for a bit.
How many courses? Is it like a bunch of different courses? Is it randomized? Yeah. What is it like?
No, it's different courses. And then, as I said, like you unlock different like 80s themed cars. So like that general sports car.
What are the VHS collectibles you got to pick up with the movie references? What kind of any good references you found?
I got a couple of them, but I don't think I've done anything with them. They're not littered all over the place. It's like you just have to like kind of find them as you go. Unfortunately, I don't know that one yet.
All right, clock's in at $10. What do you think?
$10, I'm okay with. I think it needs some work at the start. I wish it controlled a little bit better, but I think there's a lot of fun to it. And it's also as chill of an arcade game as you can get in terms of the music. So
nice.
It's fun.
All right. And with that, we are done with this episode.
Woot.
Made it through another. I need some chill music to play at the end now, since we talked about a chill game.
For some reason, I just immediately thought of Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin.
Why?
Because, he has that line where he's like, "All right, everyone, chill." And then, he freezes, the entire room.
I hate you.
What?
I think I agree with her on this one.
Oh, fuck you.
We're going to play something old from the 1UP, since they have a lot of chill stuff on their earlier albums. So how's that sound? 1UPs.
Sure.
Sounds good.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's your show, so we can't really stop you.
Spotify could stop me if they detect Cell Dweller in a episode. Last episode.
Really?
It's not up on Spotify because of the Cell Dweller song. YouTube didn't have a problem with it, though. So, I don't know.
That's funny.
Interesting.
Yeah, so...
Interesting, though?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, anyway, sir. Anyone have any final words to end this episode?
I've added Nippets to my wish list because I liked...
That sounds dirty.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Bree's review made me want that game. So
you like Bree's nippets?
Nipples and whippets all in one.
Yes, it does.
I'll do some nippets. I just did nippets with a hooker.